First Bible reading is Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 to 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I'll give you every piece where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And the second Bible reading is from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven, above or on the earth, beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents, the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments.
Thank you, Daniel. Well, you will know if you've been watching online or if you've been here over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at the conquest of the Promised Land. And if we roll back to the weeks when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush, we will know from that first reading that God promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. As we've just heard, the Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers. I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. So you may wonder why all of a sudden we aren't continuing the story, but we almost seem to have gone backwards with our readings tonight. Well, hopefully this will become clear tonight. As we heard last week, the Israelites were following God's commandments, and we know from a couple of weeks ago that they took the city of Jericho. And when they were following God's commandments, all went well. But last week, as we heard, when they didn't follow God's commandments, like with Achan, who got greedy for the many riches he found in the city of Ai, things went horribly wrong. And the army was defeated, the sin was punished, and consecration and repentance took place. How often do we hear and we read that story and that cycle of things going well, they follow God and everything seems to be wonderful, and then they fall away and everything goes wrong, and then they cry out to God, and then we go back round that cycle again. Well, our passage really, or the theme for our service tonight, is not continuing the next part, particularly in Joshua, but actually we're going to skip to the end of the book of Joshua. Because last week we were looking at Joshua 7, where we read that the Canaanites had been driven out, and you would think that they had conquered the land just as God had promised them. And we have that sense of joy that came as a result, echoing the words of the song we're going to sing now. We are marching in the light of God. They had gone into the land of Canaan. They were marching in victory. They saw God's victory. And as we stop before we continue with that sense of expectation of what we've read or what we've heard read in that first passage of God promising them the land, they were marching in victory. They were marching as if everything was going to go well. As we're here tonight, that didn't quite happen. So as it said in that first passage, be strong and courageous, follow my commandments, and then you will be prosperous and successful. And you can imagine as they were walking around the city of Jericho, as we heard a few weeks ago, everything, you know, they were doing it and they were marching and they were doing what God wanted and everything was absolutely amazing. And then we had the blip from last week. But if we continue through the book of Joshua, and we're not going to look at it tonight, I encourage you if you want to go home, but I'm just going to pick up some of the amazing acts that took place in the book of Joshua. They crossed the Jordan on dry land by the priest going and setting foot in the river and the river stacking up, and they were able to cross the river on dry land. There was the dramatic taking, as I've already talked about, of Jericho when the walls of the city fell down. And then Joshua 10 tells us how the sun stood still when the Lord was fighting for Israel. And then the very last number of chapters in Joshua talks about how first the northern kings were defeated, then the eastern kings, and then the western kings, and then finally the southern kings were overthrown, and the land was finally able to be divided between the 12 tribes of Israel. And as Daniel shared with us from those verses from Joshua, surely the fulfillment of God's promises to Moses made all those years earlier at the burning bush had come to fruition as they entered and took control of the promised land. Surely things were going well. But there are three verses in those last few chapters of Joshua where Joshua talks about how the land should be divided, how the defeat of the kings finally took place, and how the enemies were overthrown. We find three small but significant verses. The first one is Joshua 15:63. Judah could not dislodge the Jebusites who were living in Jerusalem. And to this day, the Jebusites live there with the people of Judah. Joshua 16, verse 10, they did not dislodge the Canaanites living in Gezer. To this day, the Canaanites live among the people of Ephraim, but are required to do forced labor. And Joshua 17, verse 12, yet the Manassites were not able to occupy these towns, for the Canaanites were determined to live in that region. However, when the Israelites grew stronger, they subjected the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not drive them out completely. We've marched into the land. We've seen the kings overthrown. There've been miracles by God. And yet, they didn't quite achieve all that God had told them to achieve. They, yes, had rule and power in the promised land. Yes, they were able to divide that land across the 12 tribes, but their ultimate conquest was incomplete because they couldn't dislodge the Jebusites, they couldn't dislodge the Canaanites, and they couldn't dislodge the Manassites from the towns in which they were living. Why? Because they failed to do what God had asked them to do. They'd failed to keep God's commandments. And when they failed to follow him, that's when those pockets of Canaanites and Manassites and Jebusites ended up remaining in the promised land. The job didn't properly get finished. And the question has to be, well, what went wrong? Because actually, we know from the passages we've heard, we know from the previous weeks that God had promised them this promised land. In fact, God had prepared their enemies for what was going to happen. In verse 5 of Joshua 5, it says, when the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they'd crossed over, their hearts melted in fear. They no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. So God had clearly prepared their enemies for what was going to take place. He had already shown them a great miracle. And even after the fall of Jericho in Joshua 6, we again get evidence of what God was saying to the people of that land that he'd promised to the Israelites, that something not ordinary but extraordinary was going to happen. Because in Joshua 6, it says, the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout the land. But as we heard last week, the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the Lord's anger burned against Israel. And that is the problem that stems all the way back to Genesis. When people fail, as we continue to fail, to remain faithful to God. For the Israelites, we know last week that Achan had failed to do that and he was punished. And how many times do we fail to? How many times do we stop at the end of a day or in the middle of the day or on a Sunday and say, I'm sorry, God, I'll do better. I'm sorry, God, I really mean to follow you. I'm sorry, God, my intentions were the best of intentions, but somehow something else came along. How many times do we sing songs like, I will offer up my life? Or here I am, wholly available, except for the bits that I don't really want to give to you. Or take my life and let it be as long as it's in the pathway that I want it to be. We set off with the best of intentions, but so often we put a little caveat in place or a little proviso along the way, or we set off and then we fall aside, just like the Israelites did as they tried to conquer the promised land. Just, they had been promised everything, and yet they get to the end of that overthrow of the land and they just have failed to keep their promises to God, to be faithful to God. And we too so often end up doing exactly the same. Last week we were given the opportunity just to sit and to make a commitment back to God. We will try again, God. And how long did that last? How long were we able to stay faithful to that promise that perhaps we'd made? And so before we continue with our story tonight and see what God is wanting to show us from these few verses here at the end of Joshua, let us just be silent and still before God for a moment. And maybe just say to him, I'm sorry, God. I just got it wrong again. Or maybe we just want to say to God, show us an area of our life, perhaps where we've been unkind or we've been judgmental or we haven't shown the love that you've called us to do. Where we've perhaps even said to God, I will open all of my heart. I won't put a restriction on. Father God, here I am for you. I offer you myself afresh. And we're going to just do that quietly for a moment before we sing our next song, which I'm going to say, please stay seated. So let's just be silent. See what God wants to say to us. See what we may want to say to God. And we continue in prayer as, Lord, we recognise the beauty of the pictures that we've seen to the backing of that song. Lord, that you are, Lord, not only here, not only in the beautiful pictures that we've seen, but Lord, you are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings in the world in which we live. And we pray not only for ourselves, as we have perhaps just confessed and invited you back into our lives, but Lord, we particularly pray that those this week who really need to know that you are Lord of their lives will know that for themselves. We particularly pray for your presence to be amongst those for whom this week is going to be a really tough week because they're saying farewell to people that they love. We pray for Therese Collins' family as there is that service of Thanksgiving tomorrow. We continue to pray for Addy and the family and all those travelling in for Margaret Adekunambi's home call and service of Thanksgiving on Wednesday night and Thursday. Lord, be all that they need, we pray. Be with all those who will be attending the funerals that are taking place both on Thursday lunchtime and for Pat Turner on Thursday afternoon. And we pray for all those who have travelled in for the funeral and Thanksgiving service for Edward's father, Frederick, on Friday and on Saturday this week. And those are just the ones that are impacting on our own fellowship, Lord. And yet, we know across our world, there are many more who mourn, who grieve, and who have lost loved ones. Father, we pray too for those who are critically ill in hospital. Remember Joyce Lewis's son. We remembered Paul this morning. And for the many others who, Lord, are facing uncertainty at this time, Lord, draw close to them. May they see your face. May they know you are all that they need, not just today, but in the coming days. And Father, we pray too. And we give thanks for the way that so many people just came together this afternoon to help Nadine's property to get to her new home. Father God, we pray a blessing on that home. And we pray a blessing on Nadine and Gabby as, Lord, they look to move in the coming days. Lord, bless them, we pray, after the months that they've had moving from place to place after being made homeless. Lord, may this new home for them be a place where you are fully present. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise because you are an awesome God. And we pray for the many things on our hearts. Lord, we bring them to you now. We offer them to you because you are the Lord of this place, of our lives, of the lives of those that we care about. Draw closer to them, we pray. Amen. So, it didn't quite go according to plan. Last week, we had heard how Achan had been punished by God, and if we continue to read the story last week, we will realize that as a result of what Achan had done, there was a period of consecration, a period of renewal of the covenant at Mount Ebal. We can read that in chapter 8. And for a while, as a result of that consecration and that repentance, a bit as we have just paused tonight, things got better. Until they began to notice that the enemies that they were overthrowing were worshipping idols, worshipping other things other than God. And as they began to take over the land in which God had called them to be, the influences of that world began to seem quite attractive to the Israelites. And as we heard in that passage that Daniel read earlier, in direct contrast to what it tells us in the Ten Commandments, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth below or in the waters below. That is what they ended up doing. That is why the conquest of the Promised Land didn't quite finish in the way that it should have done. And that caused me to just pause and think, why do we keep doing that? Why do we fail again and again and again? Is it because we were like the Israelites, we're easily led, we're tempted by the things that we quite like a look at? Is it because we're weak in our discipleship? Our walk with God just isn't close enough. I think probably, if I'm honest, most of us ask those questions of God at times in our Christian walk. Why do I fail you, God? Why do I walk away from the narrow path that you've called us to? And if there was one simple answer, we wouldn't be doing it, would we? Well, we know what the answer is to remain faithful. The problem is we just don't seem able to do it. And if we did, actually, our job as ministers and your job as Christians would be so easy, wouldn't it? Because we would just go along and life would be easy and we'd just be faithfully following God. We wouldn't need to confess. We wouldn't need to keep saying sorry because we'd be living perfect and wonderful, easy, fruitful lives. But life is not like that. The Bible actually tells us that life's not like that. The Bible tells us that there is a narrow way and a wide way. And we're going to keep going off in the other direction. And actually, it's when we go off. It's those times actually when we do get things wrong and we come back to God that we realize that God is always there. And that God always forgives us. And actually, it's those times of winter when perhaps things feel particularly bleak. We realize, as we are reminded from our text for the year, of the need to put down those roots, to stay strong at those times of temptation in order to keep going on in our faith and discipleship. We were talking about that yesterday at the away day. Because if everything was easy, we wouldn't know how to cope when struggles come along. If we think about an apprentice, we know that they can't just walk in on day one, learn on day one how to do something, and then they suddenly become a master craftsman. Because we know it takes time. We know that they need to gain the correct skill and technique of their master teacher in order to become a master themselves. We know that takes hard work. We know it takes practice. And we know that they learn from the mistakes that they make. And the gardener knows that if they want their bulbs that they plant in the autumn to come up into the spring, the bulb itself has to die. And we are reminded of that in both John's Gospel and the Corinthian letter to the Corinthian church. When you plant something, it must die in the ground before it can live and grow. We do sadly seem to keep making mistakes. But it's if we can learn from the mistakes that we make, it will help us in our journey going forwards. We know from athletes, they have to practice and work and put the effort in order to achieve their goal. And we need to do the same. We need to put the time in to read God's word. We need to keep God at the forefront, even in those times of struggle, to keep us going on, to keep us strong, and to stop us keep wandering off so often into the things that we see in the world, like the Israelites saw in the world around them, to keep reminding ourselves to keep on keeping God central. Joshua 1 verse 8 says, "Keep the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and then you will be prosperous and successful." And how many times do we need to be reminded of the need to pick our Bibles up and to work our faith? Because the devil is prowling around like that proverbial lion, waiting to take us away, waiting to pick out our weaknesses, waiting to feed on our insecurities and our fears. Well, you didn't really mean it. Well, God's not going to love you now, is he? And all those other things he does to try and take us away. for the Israelites. They were told, stay faithful and you will have victory. And they didn't manage it. We are told, keep walking and become Christ-like. And we need to keep our eyes fixed on his word, to walk in the pathway so that we too can walk in the way he calls us to and allow his spirit to work within us so that we do indeed try and stay faithful for longer, to dig our roots deeper into our faith so that when we do have that odd wobble or two, we don't walk straight away from God. We just have a little diversion before we once again come and bow down and confess. When we make a mistake, don't let's just bang our chest and say, woe is me, I'll just give up now. No, because that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to say sorry, and he'll pick us up and he'll help us back on the path we're going again. I read the very end of Joshua 23, and it says this in verse 11. Be very careful to love the Lord your God. If you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. Joshua's farewell speech. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled, not one has failed, but just as the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened until the Lord your God is destroyed from this good land that he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Joshua's final parting words to the Israelite people, knowing that they hadn't quite achieved all that they were being called to do, was just to remind them once again, stay faithful to God. Keep building on your faith. Stick to the Ten Commandments. Do what God has commanded you to. And as I was reading that and thinking about how they just didn't quite get it right, I was reminded of that wonderful children's song that I would have sung, and I'm sure many of you did too, that's based on Matthew 7. Sam, you may just want to turn me down for a minute. I want you to feel free to join in as I sing. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The wise man built his house upon a rock, and the rain came tumbling down. And the rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the flood came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rain came tumbling down. And the rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the flood came up. The rain came down and the flood came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. That really, in essence, kind of summed up where Joshua was saying to the Israelites, do what God tells you and it will be great. You don't and it's going to be a mess. And Jesus was saying those things all those years later to the people he was talking to us today. Keep walking faithfully and you will stand firm. When you don't do that, you're going to fall flat on your face. It is hard for all of us. We all get things wrong. Sometimes we have unfinished business and it's because we've not been faithful to God. But the promise that God made to the Israelites all those years ago applied to us today. Stay faithful, walk with me, and things will go well. And when you don't, it's probably going to go horribly wrong. The choice is yours. Stand firm or fall flat. But God wants us to walk with him and stay strong and keep shining out for him in the world which frankly has little hope because they don't have his presence in their lives day by day. Because let's face it, what a joy it is as we were here this morning to have God, to know God, and to know him walking with us day by day. Our final song reminds us that we are called to walk the land with hearts on fire and every step to be a prayer. And we are called to burn brighter in a world that is dark. So can we shine for him? Let's be like the Israelites at the beginning of that conquest into the promised land, marching in victory, walking by faith, and seeing incredible things happen. Let us in our walk this week try to burn bright for God, to follow his footpaths, and to not leave things unfinished because we've gone off the way, but resolve to stay on that narrow path, following him and allowing our faith to stand firm as we keep God's word close to our hearts. And so we go from this place, knowing that he is a great God and he loves us and he wants to walk with us day by day. May we go in peace and in love and in joy. Amen.